For we do gather in the tabernacle, the house of Yahweh. We do come before you to bless you, our Abba. As we call upon that precious name, the only name of strength and salvation. We do acknowledge you in all things. We cry to our Abba. Hallelujah. 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 For the heart that knows you is exceedingly glad, thankful for all of your mercies, your kindness, for the great power of your deliverance, to deliver us from every shackle, every bondage of darkness that captivates the mind and the heart of man. Yahshua HaMashiach declared that whom the Abba makes free, the power of your Torah, your truth, that one is free indeed, and they are delivered. And so we shall today, with great ecstasy of heart, with an exceedingly gladness of heart and mind, that we are free. We are free to worship, to bless you, to bow down before you, to cry out unto our mighty Abba and to worship him. We lift our hands and our voices. We lift our prayer offering unto you to say thank you, Abba. I worship you. I do bless you. And I do thank you for the liberty that you have given unto me, that I can cry out in the midst of a pagan, deluded world of darkness, in the midst of every kind of vile, iniquitous way that is perpetrated. Yet I am not brought under the captivity of those things, but I'm free today. I am free, and I am set at liberty to worship you, to sing the shouts of praises, to thank you for your mighty power of healing, for your strength of deliverance, for the power of your truth to make me liberated. So we ask you, in the precious hope of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel, to bless this house today, the worship, the word, that it may be spoken with great clarity, that the heart of the people may understand, and that those that are listening and that will hear this message, that it will enlighten them and strengthen them, assure them and reassure them of the mighty power and dominion of Yahweh, the creator of all things. For you have made us splendidly out of the dust of the earth, and you have breathed the power of your Ruah deep down in the inward parts of man. You have made us a living creature to worship you, to bless you, and to acknowledge you in all things. So we ask you today to heal every broken heart, to strengthen the feeble and the weak. Bless those that are in need of bread. Men like Pastor Babu, Elder Martin there in Kenya, brothers and sisters that we hear from different parts of the world and the United States of America. I pray for the sister that called of the night from Louisiana, that you strengthen her, as you do the young man, Brother Noel, there in London, England. We pray for Brother Michael, his wife, sister, Michaela and Alexis. They're in Ohio. Sister Catherine and Sister Pamela, we pray for their strength. We pray for Sister Bernice Hawkins, there in Jamaica, in the midst of great poverty. A people that have great trials every day. That these messages will strengthen the house there. Bless the people in a mighty way. I pray for those that are listening, wherever they're listening. Sister Tuck and the children there. I pray your anointing to strengthen her as Brother Louis there in Switzerland, his wife, Sister Christina, their son. We pray for every ear today to hear and to listen. Elder Baker and those that gather with him. Pastor Amdi Israel, Pastor Brown, Pastor Hunter. We pray for these men that their heart and the hearts of everyone may be true and sincere with you, Yahweh. We pray for our enemies, those that speak lies against us, those that come against us in such a violent way, that they oppose the power of your name. That is your integrity, your name. We bless you for that. Now strengthen the house of believers. In every part of the world, strengthen Brother David Morning. Help him, I pray, Yahweh. We pray for Brother Yehuda and the gathering there in Buffalo, New York, to strengthen them and to help them in a mighty way. Help me today, Yahweh, as this message, the truth, the integrity, and the power of it may go into all the world. And others may hear and know that you are the mighty one and the everlasting one. We trust you today. We thank you and we bless you. Now bless the singing, the praises, those that play the instruments of praise. Bless them all, the willingness, the faithfulness. Give us rest this Shabbat as we gather here in the tabernacle to worship you. And teach us the splendor of your worship. That we do it with a heart that is excellent toward you. That there is nothing that impedes, circumvent, or stop us from receiving the fullness of your dynamic power in our inward parts. We ask it in the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel, the hope of all Israel, the remnant, the seed of Almighty Yahweh. We bless and we thank you for all things in that precious name. And all the saints cried, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Oh, yes. Lift your hands and shout, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Come on and shout, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Abba. Hallelujah.
For your power is everlasting. That is the unmovable Torah, the word of life, your instructions, your counsel. For you declare that the Shemaiah, the earth, and everything that we see, you shall be moved out of its place. We can see that's coming your way. Before one jot, or one tittle little infraction, be removed away from your Torah, you're not going to change one stipulation for any man. Any body of people, any ethnicity, race, gathering, you will not change anything. For your Torah is everlasting. It is the standard of your torch bearing, the light you sent forth, Yahshua the Lamb. And so there is nothing that can ever change, that can ever be altered, that can be ever taken out of the truth of your way. So for that we thank you. We bless you. We will worship you according to your Torah, the law of the tabernacle, according to the statutes, the stipulations, as we come in the Ruah and full of the truth. For man must worship you in the Ruah and in Torah revelation. So we bless you for that today. We do ask you to strengthen Brother and Sister Heath here in Ontario, Canada, wherever the other ones are listening today, as they join us for our Shabbat worship. Bless their ears today to hear, for it is vital and important for us to hear what Yahweh says. So we bless you today, and we thank you, and we praise you for all things in Yahshua's mighty name. And all the Kiddushim said, Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Look to your neighbor and say to them, thank you. And I bless you. Good to be here with you. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. We do thank him today. I certainly bless him for all that he is doing. For his word is a great revelation and a strength only to the body. He never intended to reveal himself to the Hittites as a nation of people, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Philistines. But he certainly wanted to make his power known unto them all. And he has not changed at all in this hour. And so it is vital to us that we know and understand what truth says. Great battles that are ahead of us. Let me say this to you all. Awaken yourselves out of that lethargic, slothful drunkenness of your spirit. This is a drunk nation today. It is full of darkness because it doesn't know Yahweh, has no heart for him, has no love for him. So it's a nation that is stupefied, has no understanding, has no purity of heart, because the desire is corrupt, is vile, it is sadistic, and it is evil. I believe what HaMashiach declared, that whom Yahweh makes free, and that one is free from the powers that rule in the spiritual realm. And we must be free. And one will not resort to carnal and fleshly governments that causes one's mind to be enmity against the Torah of Yahweh. So you will not break the mitzvot of Yahweh. You won't steal and lie and cheat and do things that are corrupt, because it's a vile issue in one's heart when they do that. There's an unclean thing when one purposely do something that demises or go against the will of Yahweh. I want to begin something very vital beginning this Shabbat. And I say to you that are listening by live stream, you that will love to have a transcript or the notes to this teaching, and you pray for me that I do it very methodical, very scrupulous, systematically, with purpose and intent, that the understanding or the ears of the people will be open. Now, you that desire an outline of this, you can write me or send me an email, and we will make sure that you get this, because it is vital. And I only want you to request this if you're going to utilize it and study the scripture. We hear, where there is no driven desire to study. There is no purpose of heart to know what Scripture says. It's an evil generation that is full of corruption. The heart of this generation is deceived. And it doesn't think that there are repercussions. There's a reward for their corruption and their sins. I want to say this before I proceed. It is one thing that I despise above all things, and I literally hate it. And that's a liar. I hate liars. I don't like them, period. But one can purpose in their heart to lie. Without any conscience, something is seared in their mind. And that's it. I despise a liar. I can deal with a thief. I can deal with an adulterous man. But that is the nature of Shaitan. He abode not in truth. He was a liar from the beginning. And he did not abide in truth. And the strength of his lies, he is an accuser of the brethren, of the sisters. That is a vile, corrupt spirit. It is the nature of darkness. It is not of Yahweh. I don't care if it's your wife, your husband, your son, daughter, you. It makes no difference at all. It is a corrupt thing. It is the nature of hell. It is the birth of darkness. And when one purports that, when they do it with an ease, they have not been delivered. They are not truly born again. Because in Hamashiach, he said that the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in him that you can associate with me. He was a liar from the beginning. He did not live or he did not abide in the power of truth to govern him. And when one will lie, they do not abide in the Torah, because Torah governs one to do the things that please Yahweh. And I will deal with this specifically, because it is a vile spirit. And I will not play with that, because I am not a liar. And I don't lie. No. You don't have to lie. Every man knows when he is lying. Even if you begin to engage, you say, no, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. That's what you do. That's all you have to do. Say, I didn't mean it that way. I'll repeat things and I try to repeat it exactly. I don't like to add things to it. Because you're going to go on for a tangent. And someone else that receive it, they will too. I want to begin a teaching. Now, I will identify certain words in the Hebraic, Aramaic, paleo, meaning, and try to express the enunciation of those words. And also in the Greek as well. It is important. Because of what I will begin to deal with in the next 3 or 4 messages, consistently, I will deal with this. We see the powers that be that are exalting themselves in the world today. And their strength is a religious practice. You must understand what religion is. It is a worship. It is a practice to esteem and to exalt some being, thing, or power that we perceive by tradition, revelation, or understanding is the supreme one and above all. Now, it is absolutely, positively a fact that there is no other like Yahweh. And his name must be known, and everything that is done must give honor to his name. Now, what religion has done, regardless to what it is, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, and all other religions from the East, they deny the importance and the value of that name. There are gods, powers, lords, beings, and spiritual forces that have a great power and a strength. You must understand that the Melachs, the Melekim, that Yahweh cast out of the kingdom, they lost their place, but they did not lose their power. They lost their place, but they did not lose their power. And they go forth throughout the earth to distort and to distract one thing. And that is the knowledge of His name and the understanding of His name. Are they able to do some of the same feats that the prophets and the apostles did? Absolutely. You tell me they can do miracles and wonders and signs? Well, certainly they can. Scripture says that. It is one thing that as we began in this teaching, we will see that every miracle that as they began with Moshe, with Yahweh bringing Israel out of Egypt, everything that He did was a strength that alluded to the power of Yahweh, the Supreme One. And today you can find testimonies out of Islam of the miracles, of the shamans, of the deliverance, of the casting out of unclean spirits. And I'm going to deal with the whole ramification of that through the process of this teaching. And I will use a plethora of scripture that we may go and judge these things and see whether it is according to precept and precept, according to line and line. It is according to the Torah and also the renewed covenants. We must examine all. We must have an understanding. So are they able to perform, to do things that would deceive and bewitch the mind of the generation to believe that it is Yahweh? Certainly it is. It is one thing about Christendom. With all of their miracle healers, with all of their casting out of demonic power, it never gives strength to the name of the mighty Creator. Yahshua came to witness of the mighty power of Yahweh. He came to bring us in line with the great strength, the power of Yahweh, and the magnitude of His presence. And so He gave us a simulation of that in that body of HaMashiach. And He actually conveyed to us that you don't even realize the power of Yahweh until you know the identity of His truth and who He is. So these powers that be, and I will deal with every extreme and identify them, so that the hearers may know and understand. We have the ultimate strength. And our strength is in one thing, can I tell you? It is in total submission unto Yahweh. We submit ourselves unto the power and the authority of Yahweh. And we resist the forces of hell, and they shall flee. I want to begin with this scripture. Or these scriptures. And the reason I want to begin with these verses is because I want to show us why there are things that are happening. The reason that there are great diseases and sickness and a control of spiritual powers rapidly in the land today. This is what Yahweh, as Moshe, the servant of Yahweh, spoke unto Israel, as to understand the great power, the strength, and also give validity to the name of the one that did all of these things. He says in Devarim, chapter 7, verse 12, "Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if you will listen to my judgments, or these mishpatim, and keep and do them, that Yahweh, your Abba, shall keep to you the covenant and the mercy which He showed or declared and promised to your Avad." He says in the 15th verse of the same chapter, what He requires is an obedience of His people. He wants us to obey what He commands us to do. To understand the specifics of Yahweh's judgment. That's why it is vital to understand Torah. That's why it is important to read Torah. That's why it is important to revisit Torah every day. The Torah should be a part of your reading and your studying. Yahweh will take away from you all sickness, not some. He will take away from you all sickness. I will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know, upon you, but will lay them upon all them that hate you. Now, them hating Yisrael, them being a metaphor of the insignia or the sign of Yahweh, he said, when they hate you, they're hating me. And HaMashiach is the fullness of that, or the fulfillment of this call and election of Yahweh to set aside a people for a perfect worship. And that is what Yahshua did. He showed us the perfect worship of Almighty Yahweh. And so if you hate HaMashiach, you hate Abba Yahweh. You despise him. And he said, because you hate men, then these diseases and sickness shall come upon you. Is not this nation one of the most sickly nations upon the face of the earth? Do we see the proliferation of sickness and diseases throughout the entire span of the earth? It is a nation and nations that despise Yahweh. And we are filled with all kinds of sickness and diseases because we have rejected the truth of Yahweh. This is a generation that wants to blame demons and devils and unclean spirits. Yet they do not want to deal with the true essence of the reasons and the purpose of what things are transpiring in them. And that is their own corrupt heart. It is a sin that they have hoarded. The sin that they have allowed to lay dormant. It is their own corruption that causes the diseases and the death and the sicknesses and the separation of them from Yahweh. So he declares unto us, if we keep all, we do certain things, but we're not doing in the purity of his Ruah. We're doing it as a pretense, or we do it because he tells us there's not a love to do it. And so we find this proliferation of the powers that be that are working miracles with all kinds of things. With forms of medicines and forms of powers, they are doing those things. And as I show us in Scripture, you will see clearly and you will know without a shadow of a doubt. He says here in the 28th chapter of Devarim, verse 58 through verse 60, I will read. Yahweh says, if you will not observe to do all the words of this Torah, of my judgment, my statutes, my counsel, that are written in this scroll, that you may fear his honorable and fearful name, Yahweh. This nation doesn't even call upon that name. It doesn't fear that name. It calls upon the name of Jesus, Jesus. It cries out to their lords. It cries out to its gods. But it doesn't honor that most honorable and the most excellent name upon the face of the earth. He said, and if you will not do all that is written in the Torah, and the Torah teaches us to honor his name. It teaches us to acknowledge his name. And Yahshua is the fulfillment. He is the Torah, the power of the Torah in the Ruah. And that is what he came to fulfill. He said, then Yahweh will make your plagues so profound, so astonishing, without description they shall come upon you. And the plagues of your seed, the ones that you birth, the ones that come out of your loins, even great plagues and long continuance and sore sickness and long countenance. You will not be at shalom. You will not be happy. Your bodies will become emaciated And there are sicknesses in this land and this nation, the cancerous diseases, every kind of diseases, the exploration of other diseases that have no names. And so they give them names by the explorer of those diseases, just like they do when they discover new stars and Nubians. They give them names of those institutions or the ones that discovered them. He said, and there shall be long sickness, and there shall be sore sickness because you have rejected the Torah, and my name is not excellent and honorable among you. His name must be honorable. His name must be made known, and we must acknowledge that. Christianity doesn't do that. Islam doesn't do it. The Muslims don't do it. The shamans don't do it. The Chinese Eastern religions don't do it. Hinduism doesn't do it. Buddhism doesn't do it. So they do not, or the religions of the world do not acknowledge the name of the mighty one that is able to create, to cleanse, to heal, and to make free. Well, I don't believe that there are powers of darkness can do those things to bewitch the mind of man. Certainly it is so. Scripture teaches that. It shows us that. He says, moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of. And he said, they shall grab hold of you, and they shall not let you go. We have generations of schizophrenia. It passed from one to the other. We have generations of all kinds of cancerous diseases that pass from one unto the other. Well, Pastor Roberts, well, who are free? Those that walk in the truth of Yahweh's Torah, and they honor the name of Yahweh, then they shall be free from the powers that be. And that is so, because Yahweh has said it. And what Yahweh says, it is established. No man can change that. And what we're trying to do, and the world is trying to do, because I am not trying to do it. I believe the word of Yahweh. They are trying to alter the truth of Yahweh. And so shall the enemy do in this time, because Scripture tells us that there shall be spirits that go forth in this hour, and they shall be the spirits of devils working miracles, and they shall do it. We see it proliferating in what we call Christianity. It is done in Islam, in Junhech. It is done in the shaman's circles. It is done in the circles of the Hindus. It is done in the circles of the Unitarians. It is done in the circles of the Mormons. It is done in the circles of Catholicism. They all testify of the great miracles. They all testify of the healings. It is one thing that one must perform before they can become what you call a saint in the Catholic religion. That there must be a record or a witness of at least 3 to 5 miracles that one has performed. It must be that way. And without that, then they cannot be elevated to what we call, or what they call, their sainthood. We are the Kedushims of Yahweh, a people that set apart to walk in the fullness of His truth, that the power of that truth may be revealed, that everything is done by the power or the strength of Yahweh for His honor and for His purpose. And because we don't walk in that, we don't see the fullness of His power in our lives. I want to define this word before I began. It's important that I do this. I want to define it in the Hebraic and the Greek form. It is amazing how it is enunciated in the Hebraic diction. And I'm talking about the word miracles or miracle. In the Hebraic enunciation, it is enunciated mofaith. Mo, M-O, hyphen faith. F-A-I-T-H. Mo, faith. Mo, faith. Now that is the diction of it. Mo, faith. And so it takes mo, faith. It is defined wonders or wonder, sign, miracles, token, a future event, a special display of Yahweh's power. Portent, prophetic indication of significance, something as an omen, something that is so marvelous that it cannot be described with words. Now that is the defined definition of mofei, miracles, in the Hebrew expression. Why are you doing this, Pastor Roberts? It is important that I do it this way. Because there is a component of those that say, the renewed covenant was written in the Greek language. Not so. It may have been copied to the Greek language, but it was written in the Hebraic Aramaic tongue. And so I will define the Greek meaning of it to show you that there is a simulation, or they are both identified as the same. And I will use scripture from the Old Covenant and the renewed to show those components or those adversaries of this truth that Shaitan has the power to work miracles, just like the power of Yahweh. He did not lose his power, he lost his place. He cast him out. If he lost his powers, he cannot live above the Shemayams that we are underneath. He cannot. When the sons of Yahweh went before Yahweh, and Shaitan came, Yahweh asked him, what have you been doing? He said, going to and fro in the earth, seeking, trying to discover those that I can consume with my power. So he had power. And this thing that we call religion today, whether it's Christendom, Islam, whatever it is, and they perform miracles too. Great feats and wonders take place because they all believe in that. It is one thing that the miracle working power of Yahweh does. It brings and it opens the heart of man to Him. That is what it does. Not some Yesu, some pagan Jesus. Not some deception of Buddha. Not some deception of yoga. It doesn't do that. It opens a man's heart to Yahweh. Miracle in the Greek, it is dunamis. You will hear many use that expression about the power of Yahweh, dunamis. And that is what it is, dunamis. It means strength. Now, if this word dunamis is applied to Shaitan, you tell me he has strength. It means strength, power, ability, power to perform miracles and mighty works. That is what the word dunamis in the Greek expression or the Greek vernacular means. That is what it means. And the word in its another form in the Greek vernacular, it says Simeon. Simeon, like a seance or Simeon. As I began to look this morning at the word thysis, and in the Greek expression or the form of the word thysis, I wanted to see the meanings and the enunciation of the word thysis used in text the way it applied to certain things. You must understand, listen carefully, that every word in the Hebraic language, it was specific to the text of that scripture. You would not use the word ahava towards something that you love, like agape. It was used directly toward our splendid adoration and our aspiration toward Yahweh. And so a word that meant love or our extreme emotion for Him, it was different from our word that we had an emotion for our child. It was different if we had an emotion for our cow. It was different for your emotion for your pet. Do you all understand that? And so every word is precise in the diction that we may understand the impact and the specific of what is being talked about. And so those things that deal with Yahweh, they are specific. And so our ahava, our love to Yahweh, is not like our love towards our dogs or piece of clothing that you have. That is why I must define these words in the way I'm doing it, because I will use them throughout the text and show you which one of these words apply to that situation. That is why if you want a copy of this when I finish, you may get it for only one purpose if you're going to utilize it. We're not going to make copies and you're not going to utilize it to extrapolate or take from this a plethora of knowledge or a depth of understanding that you may apply it to this time. So the word, another form in the Greek miracles, it is simeon. It is a sign, it is a mark, token, wonder, a sign. It is something that occurs and it transcends the natural ability to understand that. Do you hear that? The natural mind of man cannot grasp it. It's beyond the intellectual reasoning to try to understand how that happened. It's beyond the expression of man's ability to express why it happens. So when that word semion is used, it is telling us that it is beyond your expression to tell you why this mighty sign was revealed or this mighty miracle happened. And if these words are used in conjunction with Shaitan, the powers of darkness, Yahweh, then we understand that He has the power to do things for one purpose. And that is for this purpose alone. Hear me, please, if you don't hear nothing I'm teaching in this message. All of the miracles and the things that Shaitan perform in the religious circles, it is to draw the mind, the heart away from the truth, the Torah of Yahweh. That's all it does. It is to remove His name, the authenticity of Him, and He is identified by His name, to say to His power of government, you have no authority in my life. And that is what it does. It removes us away from truth. And that is what you see in Christendom. They go by the tens of thousands to get demons cast out. And next week the demon is right back. That is not so. Scripture doesn't teach that. It cannot be found because those that are free indeed. I would deal with one form of scripture that people use, that Shaul said he had a thorn in his flesh. Well, in order for you to understand that, you must go back to the beginning and see what scripture says about the thorn. And see if there are scriptures that imply the very same thing that Shaul talked about. Well, it is so in the book. But religion doesn't teach us that. Christianity doesn't teach that because it is no more than another form of God, Son, worship. It is nothing more than a derivative of the God, many, the God, Gad, fortune, the God of fortune, Gad, the God of prosperity, Gad, and the God, many, the God of fortune. That is all it is. It is a derivative. It is a hybrid of those religions. It is a mixture. It is an amalgamation, a tenet of Media, a tenet of Balaism. It has all kinds of tenets in it. A tenet of Greek mythology, Greek worshiping, a form of Egyptology, Greekology. That is all it is. And so it has remnants of every kind of religion there is in it. And that's the truth. Christian Science, one of the most honorable organizations in America, or their doctrines, their theology. Now this is how it defines a miracle. A divine, natural phenomenon experienced by humans as the fulfillment of a spiritual law. So it is something that is phenomenon. It's beyond your ability to understand or to comprehend, but they say it is a spiritual law that causes it to operate. Now Yahweh told us what causes law to operate. Hear Him, obey Him, keep what He says, don't refute it, don't judge it, just obey it, hold it dear to our heart. that it may be fulfilled. So they have the understanding that it's a law that is governed by a life that is greater than the physical existence of life. So it's governed by a spiritual law. And Yahweh's Torah, it is spiritual. So we know that the Torah is spiritual. It is spiritual. So it's not some carnal law, so it's ruled by a law that is beyond the ability to understand the dynamics of it. You can't explain what happened. There are those that have gone to doctors that Benny Hinn has laid his hands on, and they say they're healed. They have final traces of the cancerous disease. There are those that shamans lay their hands on, and this is steeped and rooted in African tradition, religion. And they have gone to their physicians, their testimony after testimony, and they said they were healed. I was reading one yesterday, a young woman from Islam. She was saying that how her grandfather, her parents taught her, she was like a priest or a priestess in Islam, that she had the power to lay hands on. People were healed, they were delivered, and they were made free. When a man is free, he is free to worship Yahweh. When a man is made free, his mind is liberated from the powers that be to know the name of the one that created him. And so all the miracles, the phenomena today, they do not cause one to be turned to Yahweh. Nor in Scripture does it show that. HaMashiach healed, delivered. That was a miraculous thing to take a few fish, 5 loaves of bread, and feed 5,000, and to take a basket. That is beyond comprehension. If you're talking about a phenom, that was more than a phenom. They use that expression with men like Tiger Woods when he came out of college. He's a phenom. Or Roderick there in Australia, the tennis pro, he's a phenom. But what they're saying, the law of their ability, you can't describe it. It's beyond our comprehension to describe. Men like the basketball player, what's his name there in Cleveland? Kobe Bryant and the other young man, LeBron James. They are what they call phenoms. They're phenomenal in their ability. And only the Greek gods can give them that ability. And that is where it comes from. And that is what Christendom opens up. Because in Christendom, you can be anything that you want to be. I was looking today at the living section of the Observer. And they have this mosaic type worship today. I wish you all would read these things and see the corruption. Don't let it trouble you though. And those that were leading what they call the worship service, and they were worshiping the powers of hell. It's so visible right there. The young women, they got on these low-riding blue jeans. You see their bellies. I mean, they're cut down to here. Do you understand? They had 400 people, and everyone came in blue jeans, tennis shoes, some with the hat turned on backwards, and they just jamming. And the music has this eerie rock or this driving lyric from darkness that create this frenzy of emotion and the shamanism in the midst that they just began to just move and glow it like they do in the clubs and things. You understand? We must know the truth. And we must understand the truth. Christendom is a pagan lie of hell. His strength is steeped in the darkness of the powers of this world. Can they perform miracles? We're going to find out in this series of teaching. I want to define what Merriam-Webster, very reputable dictionary that everyone knows. I want to define the meaning of that from its etymology, its research. It says a miracle, an extraordinary event manifesting divine. Now, they use that word divine because that is the root of divination. I don't like the word because it doesn't apply to Yahweh. He is not divine. He is Kodash, but he is not divine. And if you look up the word divination, which I will explain to you all of these meanings of the words and how they're enunciated in the Hebraic and the Greek terminology, so that you may get a grasp. Those that say, well, renewed covenant was written in Greek, lies, but it has been translated into the Greek form and reduced down to us in the English form and other languages that have lost its essence and its impact. And that is what the translations did. They did not transliterate because they did not have words to mean the same thing that the Hebraic words meant. So they had to draw on the strength of gods, idols, things. And when you do that, you incorporate that into your message. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So if you draw on a word like the word Holy Ghost, the word ghost, it has its orthographics, its origins, its etymology, its beginning in the language or the religion of Hinduism. Has nothing to do with a Hindu people, but it has to do with the Hinduism religion. Thousands, millions of gods. That is where the swastika of Hitler came from. They are trying to ban the swastika, but the Hindus say that is a vital part of our worship and our practice. So we use the swastika because it has great meaning, just like those that practice a religion called Judaism, the Star of David. There is only one star. HaMashiach is the Star of Yahweh. He is the bright and the morning, shining, brilliant light of Yahweh. That truth has been revealed through him. David had a tenet of the truth, but the power of the truth was revealed through Yahshua HaMashiach. Solomon had truth, but the strength of the truth and the force of it never came into its fullness of power until everything was finished on that impalement at Calvary. And so we receive the benefit of that. So many men have had tenets of it or a certain bit of it, but they have not had the fullness. And now we have the fullness of his truth. And it comes and begins with his name. It begins with his name. He tells us not to have gods, don't make images, and don't take his name in vain. Before he tells you how to worship him, he tells you that. And so that is the meaning. It is an extremely outstanding or an unusual event, thing, or accomplishment. And that is what the Merriam-Webster, one of the most recognizable, one of the most reverent dictionaries in the world, along with the Oxford and others. But that Merriam-Webster has a tremendous, pristine reputation as understanding the meanings of words. So in all of that, I want to say, even in the English vernacular, in the Greek, in the Hebraic, it simply means a mighty feat that is able to transcend the ability of man to understand the reason why it happened and who caused it to happen. Yahweh wants us to know who caused all things to happen. I want to show you some. I want to begin in the Old Covenant. We must begin there and see how the miracles began. All right? I'm not going to wait for you to turn. I'm going to tell you what Scripture is. You can write them down. And if you have a true intent and purpose in your heart, when I finish this, you will ask for a copy of the notes. And then you can restudy this. And prove me whether I'm walking in error or I have fabricated something to establish a doctrine. I establish Yahweh and the power of his Messiah. That is what I establish. These men will not even identify the name of Yahweh. They won't identify him. Scripture says in Shemoth, Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. When Yahweh gave Moshe power to begin these most powerful miracles that have been known upon the face of the earth, he says, and Moshe answered and said, as he dialogued with Yahweh, but see, you understand, Yahweh, they will not believe me, nor listen to my voice, For they will say, Yahweh has not appeared unto you. He said, Pharaoh will not acknowledge me. He will not hear me. He will say, who is this mighty one that has appeared unto you? Now, do you understand the purpose of all these mighty feats in Egypt? It was only one purpose, wasn't it? To get honor upon his name. And so every miracle today will bring honor upon the name of the Abba. We must go to the Bereshit of things, saints. We must see where the miracles began, the more faith began. We must understand that. And everything that was done, it was to bring a great esteeming of his name. That is why he will harden Pharaoh's heart. He said, they will not believe me. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And Yahweh said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Do you understand that? It became a serpent. One that allures and deceives. Was not the serpent the most subtle creature in the garden? And that's what these religions are. They're serpent saints. They're serpents. You see, you know the story of this. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I want to take my time. I want to do it very methodical. It's not a hard word to understand. I want to do it systematically. I want to do it with a scrupulous candor. I want to do it so we can understand. I want to do it so your mind can grasp it. And there, I get so excited about things that I tend to move a little ahead when I should just wait. I want to carry you through this. And so these religions today are serpents. They are trying to do one thing. When Moshe cast down the serpents and the magicians did the same, the rod of Aharon ate up the magician's rod. Now what they're doing today, what this serpent is doing today, it is trying to eat up the rod, the strength of Yahweh. His strength is his name because Yahshua Messiah came in the name of his Abba. And when Moshe saw that, he fled from before it. And Yahweh said to Moshe, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it and it became a rod in his hand. Was that something mighty there? Now, I believe I would have done what Moses did too. I don't believe it was some little small garden snake. I believe it was some of great strength. Powerful. When you see something like that call on you, you're going to run. You understand? And I think I would have taken the same path as Moshe. So he ran. So he gave him great courage and strength. Grab it by the tail. He told him exactly where to grab it. He did not tell him to grab it by its mouth. He said, grab it by its tail. Because he's always going to consume these serpents. They're serpents. All of these religious Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, they're serpents. They're trying to destroy the name. They're eating up the name and they're establishing these false names. The Jesus, the Christos, the anointed ones. There's only one. Yahweh is his name. And so that they believe that Yahweh, the sovereign ruler of their Avak, the sovereign ruler of Abraham and the ruler of Yishaka and the ruler of Yaakov has appeared to you. Now Moshe, as he received those instructions, he obeyed him and Aharon and did what Yahweh told him to do. Now I want to continue that in Exodus, Shemoth chapter 7 and verse 8. When the rod of Moshe was turned into a serpent and Pharaoh's heart was hardened even the more when he saw what happened. It says, and Yahweh spoke unto Moshe and Aharon, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak to you, saying, show a miracle for yourself. Do you understand that every God, why would Pharaoh ask him to show a miracle, a more faith? Why would he do that? That was the strength of every God. Do you all hear me? Every God was able to do that. Was Pharaoh a pagan? Did he have gods? Did he have soothsayers and shamans and every kind of diviner? Did Nebuchadnezzar have those? Did he not seek for his diviners and magicians and soothsayers when he could not interpret or understand the dream? So we must understand that all gods are able to do that. Sharp tongue is the God of this world. He is able to perform miracles. And his strength of bewitching, don't forget that term. His strength of bewitching is through some religious practice that creates an emotion in a people. So you find the strength of shamanism in what we call Christianity. All kinds of gyrations and folly. I believe that when a man speaks, Messiah spoke the word of Yahweh, it went forth, it healed. You have components today that says that everyone that has any kind of sickness, anything, there's a demon. Scripture doesn't teach that. It shows us that he casts out unclean spirits, heals those that are of palsy or paralyzed, heals certain sicknesses, and the scripture names all that. But that's the ignorance of this generation, and you can't tell it nothing. They're not going to listen to a man like me. They're not going to hear me. You understand? So as he did that, Pharaoh said, show a miracle to prove yourself. To show me who you are. You're just one running off of your mouth. Then you shall say unto Aharon, because Pharaoh is going to ask for this. Show me a miracle. You shall say unto Aharon, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh. And it shall become a serpent. It shall be a wonder, a sign. It shall be something that foreshadow a portent. That is what a portent is. It is a foreshadowing of, like a prophecy of things to come. Now that is the symbolicism and the symbolicism and the metaphor of the serpent. Now Yahweh, we understand this. He said, cast it down, the rod. It shall become a serpent. When Pharaoh asked for a miracle. And Moshe and Aharon went into Pharaoh. And they did as Yahweh had commanded. That's vital and important. And Aharon cast down his rod before Pharaoh. And before his servants, and it became a serpent. Pharaoh said, that's not miraculous. I've seen that. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men. Men of great intellectual capacity. Intellectual properties. Understanding the design of physics. They understood that. He called the wise men. He said, this is what you boys got. I believe Pharaoh just stood there and looked. Because he was a king. And a king was always identified as the son of the gods. That is why that many will say that Christianity or this manifestation of Yahshua HaMashiach is no different than all of the other pagan forms of God. But this one declared himself to be the only one. They have acceptance, but not Yahweh. He has a Torah, a law that governs and brings forth the fullness of his riches. So he called the wise men, and look at this. He called the sorcerers. And now the magicians of Egypt, and they also did like manner with enchantment. Do you understand that? They all did the very same thing with enchantment. If you were to research that word to the core, it simply, even in any good dictionary, it will tell you that they're bewitching. It bewitched them. Do you understand that? It bewitched them. And that is what they would do. They would bewitch the minds of the people. Now, I want you to hear that because it's vital. And that is what is taking place today with the shamanism, the sorcerers, and the diviners. They're doing the same thing. Do you hear me? They're trying to eat the rod of strength. They're trying to eat... You always say he's going to rule with a rod. Rod of iron. And so they're trying to take the rule and the governing power of Yahweh. And they're manipulating or bewitching the minds of the people... Through all of these purported miracles and the casting out of demons, they are not casting out nothing. Well, Shaitan cannot cast out Shaitan. Even if one takes that question, when they call Yahshua a Beelzebub, and understand that he asked them, now, how could even Shaitan, if you read the question, I will deal with that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. If Shatan cast out Shatan, then his kingdom is divided. What he was literally saying, well, if this be of the power of hell, if he cast him out, what is left in there? What's there? There's nothing there. He has no power there. But it doesn't work that way. And I will show you. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Help me, Yahweh. Let me maintain this course. I want to do it methodically, systematically, all right? So they did it with their enchantment. They did it with the power to bewitch the minds. You understand what bewitching does. These miracles of Christianity, Catholicism, Islam, Buddhism, does it bewitch the people? How do you know bewitch the people? I want to show you something. I'm going to read this. I read it often. And Galatians 3 and 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Who have put you under spell? What magician, what wise man, what sorcerer has put you under spell that you should not obey the truth? Yahweh's righteousness is everlasting. Psalms Tehillim 119, 142. And his Torah is the truth. So who has bewitched you that the Torah is not evident part of Yahweh's power to govern, to instruct you? So when one's mind is bewitched, and that is what all of these religious practices do, it bewitched the minds of the people, that they turn away from the truth. Is his name truth? Is his name excellent? Is his name a memorial? Then how do we find some pagan expression, God? I want you all to hear me now. It all begins in the spirit of one's mind. I'm telling you. Now I'm going to work this. I'm going to show us many things in Scripture. As I said, I'm not going to wait for you to turn. I will read, I will tell you, and if you are truly enthusiastic, you will ask for an outline of this preaching or this teaching message that I have begun this Shabbat. And you can go back and you can thoroughly research it. Will I use every scripture? No, I will not use every scripture. Now, it is not a short list what I have. I already have about 11 pages, probably be 20 when I finish, or 25. I do not want to waste ink and paper to give you this, and you're not going to utilize it. I do not want to send it off to someone, and it just become another piece of paper. It is vital that we understand. It is important that we get understanding. Wisdom is principle, but understanding, you need understanding. You need to know who Yahweh is. And so their minds of the foolish Galatians, their minds were bewitched, that they could not obey the truth, whose eyes the evidence of Hamashiach and Pel was set before them, and they denied that. Men say, oh, I believe that he was, quote, hung on the cross, unquote. But who put him there and who pleased, or whose heart was pleased, that he bruised him? I think I want to know the one that had the power that he took pleasure in that because he saw the work of that impelling and what it would reveal or what it would bring forth to his house. I want to know him. And I think that if he had the power to send him, his name better be known. He better be the one that is worshipped and acknowledged. I believe that. So Pharaoh said, you haven't done anything unique here. He said, come on, my diviners. Come on, my root workers and my soothsayers. That is one of the biggest business today, especially in the South. It is called root workers. They are actually sorcerers. And people will come from all over. I recall in the early days, you would hear these men on radio station AM 1510, the same that the pseudo-prophet, that's what he is, R.G. Scare was on. And you would hear all these men, if you got jinx, you got a spirit on you, you got sickness, call me, Reverend John A. Icombe. I'm located in Basel, Louisiana. I don't care what it is, janks, whatever's on you, it'll come off. I got the power in the name of Jesus Christ. And they will literally say that. I will listen, and I will listen in amazement to what they will say. Do you understand? And they will sell their wares, and they will propagate their wares, and they had power to do it too. Every God has power. Because he has established his own covenant with his people. And once you are under the covenant of that God, it is the life of that God that promotes his or her laws in you. And that is what it does. And that's the truth. And when one is bewitched, and all that Christendom and Islam, Muslims and all, Hinduism, they are turning the hearts of the people away from the truth of the mighty Creator. He said, who have turned your heart away from the truth that you should not obey it? And that's the power that they are performing today. People go for healings. They are bewitched. Oh, I'm here, Benny Hinn. He would decry that he's healing it. He would tell you it's God that's doing it. And they go by the masses to Benny Hinn. He said, I cast out demons and all of that. How could a man like Benny Hinn do that? When he is an agent of, he is a pseudo-Christ. They're agents of hell. Tell me, is there any power whereby Scripture tells us that they can do that? Let me move on, all right. He says in Shemoth, Exodus 7:12, as I continue this way, and they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Do you hear that? So what Moshe did, Pharaoh, Yahweh knew that Pharaoh was going to say, show me a miracle. Show me a great sign. Show me more faith. Show me something that, quote, your God is able to do, unquote. I know my God. I have wise men. I have sorcerers. So he cast down his serpent. His rod, it became a serpent. They cast it down. It became a serpent. But Aharon's rod swallowed up the rod. Well, what was the purpose of that? Is that a metaphor there? Sure it is. It is a portent of some great event or an analogy that should take place. So what it did is swallowed up that rod to show that this one is the mighty one. His name is going to be made known in Egypt. A kingdom that is so mighty. A kingdom that has a pantheon of gods. That have worked miracles among them with great power. That they were bewitched whereby there was no knowledge of Yahweh among them. And that is what that was. And so what we find today, we have these rods today, these serpents. They're subtle, cunning, corrupt men and women. They're trying to eat the rod. They're trying to destroy the rod of truth. A rod is an insignia or a strength of power, unmovable, of great strength of character. That is what a rod represents. And they're trying to eat the rod of strength, but they're not going to do it. Yahweh is not going to allow it. Because the rod is going to consume their rods, the serpents. And that is what that represents. Men read today, but they don't have knowledge of what they're reading. Well, who do you think you are? I am nothing. But I know who he is. And I understand the simplicity of scripture that he reveals to me. And I don't get this by practicing a message how to articulate it. It comes as I speak. That's how it comes. So we are being led by the Ruah of Yahweh. And if you believe you've been led by some strange spirit, I would run. I will not listen to this twisted man that's standing up here today. And if you sense that this is the truth of Yahweh, you better hear. And you better understand because it's vital to understand. It's vital to understand. So his rod swallowed him up. And look at this. And Yahweh, he hardened Pharaoh's lev, that he listened not to them, as Yahweh had said. He said, that is nothing. You've done something mighty, yeah, I give you that, but it's nothing. My men can do that. My priests can do that. My God is able to do that. My God is able to show us great signs, great miracles, to show us signs in the sky. Yahweh said that he would show us signs in the Shemayams, didn't he? So is Shaltan too. So is Shaltan too. Oh, I'm going to finish this course. It may take me 5 weeks. And I say to you all, don't do anything to circumvent me from this. Keep your minds pure. Don't make me have to come here and deal with a circumstance here. Let me deal with this. It's vital that we understand this. I'm not some cheap charlatan trying to sell a religious practice for my own financial wealth. Because I believe I can articulate as well as any man if I wanted to articulate the doctrine of the pagan deities. But I won't do it. I want us to feel before the truth of Yahweh and His knowledge. You understand? And that is what He wants. So they did the same thing that Moshe did. And that is the metaphor of the things that will come in this time. They're trying to consume the rod, the strength of Yahweh. They're trying to consume it by giving Him a false name, a hybrid, damnable, pagan, deceitful lie of a name, trying to hide the identity of Yahweh. And they have hid the identity of Yahweh in these pagan priests of Yahweh. I cast out devils, I heal the sick in Jesus' name. It's not the power of Yahweh. Did they do what Moshe did? Were they sent of Yahweh? Who were those men sent of? They were sent of the powers of hell. And yet Moshe was commanded by Yahweh. And yet they performed the very same thing. Yahweh just showed him His strength is mightier. He is awesome. That it consumed their rods. And that is the truth. Now I want you to understand, Satan, I want to define something for us. The power of sorcery. I want to read something. The power of sorcery. I want you to understand the meaning of this word, sorcery. Do you all hear me? I will give you the expression in the Hebraic expression. It is the enunciation Bahala, like Behal. Bahala. And in the Greek, it is magician. Magical performance. Power to deceive the mind. It is one thing that the power of Yahweh, when one works a miracle by the power of Yahweh, it changes the Ruah, the heart of man, that his heart is turned to Yahweh. That's the only reason he does it. You look at Scripture. That was the only reason he did it. How much he healed? 10? How many came back? 1. Was that the mighty power of Yahweh? Sure was. To show us that metaphor that just a few. There's one in the whole that Yahweh is going to save. Now, it also expressed in the Hebraic enunciation, it depends on the text that is used now. I want you to understand because you got to understand the text of grammar. That's important to understand. Enunciated to Anon, or anointed one, Anon. Now when it's used in the sense whereby it is of a fortune teller or soothsayer, that is the word that will be used in the Hebraic expression, Anon. And they will tell you that Jesus is the anointed one, isn't He? Not so. They will tell you that. I believe He is. But He's not the one that comes in the fullness of Yahweh's power. It is diviner, fortune teller, spiritualism, magician, to make appear and to produce. Now this is amazing here. I'm dealing with the Ruah or the spirit of sorcery. Do you hear me? Also, in the Greek text, it is used as this. Pharmakia. Pharmakia. The use of the administration of drugs, often found in connection of idolatry. Do you understand that the drugs today, the ecstasy and the cocaine, and all of these drugs, they were always used in some form of idolatry? Do you not know that religions, there are many religions that use drugs, the Rastafarians, their weeds, and things like that? It brings them to the closeness of that power. And if you've ever experienced those kinds of things, it removes you from the natural realm into a realm that is beyond the ability for the natural mind to comprehend.